Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Thanks for being on, Ethan. It's so good to, one, have you in our space. This is unique. We don't usually get to do interviews in person. And honestly, you know, from when I've met you, not really knowing what exactly you did to now being able to have experienced it because you've worked on me and I really appreciate that. And I know we're going to talk about that. But really, I just want, like, what is your mission here with people?
Well, my mission is to help people feel better, whatever that means, right? To help people heal. And healing means becoming whole, right? And it's all about becoming whole, mind, body, spirit, right? And just being at ease in your body, feeling free and liberated in your body, right? It's about liberating people's bodies.
I love that.
So in being whole, and you say mind, body, spirit, you know, you do a lot of work on the body, and that seems like a very physical thing. So for you, what are some of the first ways that you start to inject that mind and spirit into that work?
Well, I think of working with the body as like working with the encasing, the like actual, like the body's our vessel, right? And so I work with the body and I'm a body worker, but we're working with the body in order to create change in other areas, because the body is essentially what Joe Dispenza says, the unconscious mind, right? So when I'm working with the body, I'm thinking about how is this affecting the mind, and also how is this the container for our spirit, and working with the body as an access point for healing. Because we can have many access points for healing. Like, I'm a big fan of classical homeopathy, and with that, like, you take a remedy and it shifts you energetically and then it affects your body. So I'm doing the same thing with body work. It's almost like the homeopathy of body work, where I'm energetically shifting people through working with the body as the access point.
Interesting. Yeah. And what got you into body work in the very beginning? Like, where did this all come from? What kind of certifications? What kind of things? Like, when people hear body work, I feel like that's so expansive.
Yeah.
So what is it that really kind of led your journey to where you are now?
Well, first off, I started as a massage therapist in LMT in New York. And I got my license in massage therapy. But way before that, people always ask me, when did you start giving body work? I'll say I started when I was like four, because my dad had me walk on his back from when I was a kid. And that's when I started working with people's bodies. You know, I just found myself just naturally, intuitively drawn to just touching people's bodies, muscles, massaging, and just like working with people's bodies. And I just have really good hands. And I found really early on that I have a gift, and I have something within my hands where I can feel things, and I just felt really called to do this type of work. But then fast forward, I'm 21 and I'm teaching yoga, okay, and I started getting into yoga. So this all started with breath work and yoga, which helped me deal with my anxiety when I was younger. When I started off in high school, actually in high school, I had high levels of anxiety. And I was seeing a therapist who was doing body therapy, which is what I do now. And he's actually, fast forward till now, he's actually a psychiatrist and he's my mentor, who teaches me how to do the emotional release body work that I'm doing now with my clients. And so going back to that, you know, I started teaching yoga at 21, and this was way before yoga was even a thing. I'm 41 now. This was many years ago. and eventually started getting into Thai massage, because Thai massage was like kind of like lazy man's yoga. I fell in love with that because it actually saved me so much at that age. I was almost 21 years old. I got a massage. Somebody recommended it, and it just blew my mind. And so from then on, I was like, I want to learn Thai massage. And then I went to massage school to get like a license, and then eventually got out of massage school, stopped doing massage, started getting into orthobionomy, which is an osteopathic-based manual therapy system, which I still use, and it's a big influence in my work. And then evolved from that to myofascial release with John Barnes, who's a specific physical therapist who works in a specific way of working with the fascia, which is the connective tissue, for those of you who don't know. And then eventually evolving to working emotionally, and which is interesting because the Barnes approach of myofascial release works emotionally as well, and almost like a spirit. It's more like a spiritual myofascial release, because it's these long, gentle, sustained, moderate pressure like holds into the body, into the fascia, and the person goes into a deep state of relaxation, almost like a trance, almost like a psychedelic experience. And they start to unwind, perhaps, and release years of pressure and tension from their body, with some emotional release, and trauma may happen as well, because you're creating that possibility to happen with this type of body work. So it's very powerful. And the idea here is we're always thinking about, how can I help the person shift and heal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's it going to take for the person to shift and heal and to energetically restore the balance in their systems, you know?
I love the path you just took us on there, as far as how you went through these steps to get to the style of treatment that you deliver right now, the style of connection that you start to form with a client and also them with their own body. And it really mirrors when you start talking about breath work and fascia and all these different things, how tools and how our hands work with our fascia and our tissues. It reflects a lot of the podcasts we've done to this point, because we've done podcasts on a lot of these things. One question that I have for you, through all of that, how do you learn how to take certain things from each of these techniques and now package it together in how you understand what it is to work on someone's body?
That's a great question. So I would say that, you know, I believe that you can be a therapist, or you can be a therapeutic artist, or a healing facilitator.
Mm.
And so I find myself to be a therapeutic artist, which is someone who intuitively works with their intuition to help support my clients, right? And so the tools or the techniques, whether it's orthobiony, Barnes myofascial release, whether it's the body therapy and emotional release work that I do, or even the acrotherapeutics, sometimes I'll bring in partner acrobatics in and work with decompressing the spine and working with the laws of nature and gravity. So whatever tool it is that I use, it's like you want to have, as a therapeutic artist, a little toolkit which you can use whatever tool that's needed accordingly. But it's really about intuitively being guided with, what tool should I use right now? And what am I feeling called to use right now? And so I'm all about teaching people how to become a therapeutic artist or a healing facilitator, rather than just a therapist who follows protocols, you know, which a lot of massage therapists, physical therapists, they finish school and they have these protocols, like a cookie cutter approach to healing. That's not healing. That doesn't work, right? That's like just an agenda. So I really go into the session with no agendas whatsoever. I tell my client, look, I have no agendas. You have no agendas. Yes, we want to get you to heal, but we want to let go of the idea that we need to heal, because that healing will happen when we're letting go of the need to heal.
No, that's everything. And I hope that even therapists, any kind of therapist listening to this, really gets to understand, you know, I'm not going in with what I'm supposed to do, but I'm seeing the person and the human in front of me. And that's always what we want to preach too. There's no one way of anything. There's no one way approach to a particular type of pain. It depends on what's needed for you and your situation.
Exactly.
And when it comes to adding in the emotional element of this, or the energetic element of healing, I think a lot of people can hear that and be like, okay, whatever. You know, it sounds a little out there. It sounds a little woo-woo. And you might start to lose people, right?
Yeah.
So how do you capture someone who's like, I just want body work and I want to feel better?
Yeah.
How do you start to be like, well, okay, we're going to explore a little deeper?
Yeah. So I've had people come in to see me with that intention of like, okay, I just want body work and I just want to feel better. And so I want you to fix my structure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, what if your structure is misaligned because energetically you're misaligned, right? Mm. And so let's work with the energetic component. And that's with the emotional energy work. And that's quite intense. It's the opposite approach of, let's say, orthobiony or Barnes myofascial release, where it's this gentle, non-invasive approach to healing, where I'm applying pressure into the person's body. I'm putting their bones into a certain position in a gentle, loving, and kind, and compassionate way. And the person's body self-corrects. So everything is working with the self-corrective mechanisms. And the body can heal itself. It has its natural way of balancing itself. But then the emotional energy work that I do is quite intense. It's pressing in and trying to trigger them to feel their shit. Wow. You know, and so I press in and press into the chest, press into the jaw, press into the head, perhaps the rib cage, which is a huge area. We can talk about that shortly, where I'll show an exercise mm-hmm. that we can do on our own, because mm-hmm. I do this with people over Zoom as well. So some people are like, okay, well, how the hell do you do body work over Zoom with someone from around the world? Like, how does that work? And I say, well, I guide you to self-treat, because we can self-treat, and it won't always work the same, and it won't always work, definitely not, but it's worth a try, right? Exactly. So if somebody's suffering and they don't have access to a therapist such as myself, who I'm in New York, Miami, LA, and Tel Aviv, but let's say someone doesn't have access to me, they can't meet me at one of these locations, we can work together over Zoom, and I can show them how to do it themselves on their own body, and we can give it a shot, and we can give it a try. It may or may not lead to the same type of healing breakthrough that we have in a session. But at the same time, I will say that I had a client who had a breakthrough over Zoom. She was a local client from New York who during the COVID situation, she was like, I don't want to come see you. I said, okay, no problem. We'll work with each other over Zoom. She was in her bedroom, and I was actually, because she was in her bedroom relaxing on her bed, and I was guiding her with her eyes closed in a meditative state, how to access her body and release the emotional blockages in her body. She had a breakthrough. She started crying and she released and she felt amazing. And I supported her in such a beautiful, remarkable way, because she was comfortable in her home, in her bedroom. And like, it's just, she had a better experience almost than in-person sessions. So it was a really interesting thing, where normally the in-person sessions, when the person can really be passive and let go and relax, that's when they can really heal. And if I take them to this really deep state of relaxation and parasympathetic state of rest, digest, recover, that's when people heal. Because I believe that people really heal, that we heal as humans when we're in that deep state of rest, not when we're in that state of thinking, talking with our therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, we really get the biggest breakthroughs, or I've personally experienced the biggest breakthroughs, when we're not fully in our head and our mind and thinking and doing, or in that fight, flight, freeze response, right? Mm-hmm. We got to get out of that. We got to go into the deep state of rest and relaxation. In fact, when we heal in our sleep, that's what's happening. Sleep is medicine. We all know that, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to your sleep, you dream. And when you're dreaming, I believe that that's the soul stuff that's going on. Like if you talk to like a shaman, it's like they're doing like some soul work, and that's the mind, body, spirit, right? So essentially, when you're sleeping, on a soul level, you're going and there's all this healing that's happening, right? And we don't think about that, right? But yeah, it's pretty powerful. So I find that when I put people into this deep state of relaxation and almost like this trance, that's when their traumas come up, and then they feel safe enough in the environment to feel the emotional traumas from past, and then they let them go and become liberated, right? That's all about like liberating people's bodies, right? And getting them to be free from trauma. And trauma is like a whole nother topic. We'd have to do another hour conversation about that, right? So, but I will just say, just emotions, what is emotion? Emotion is just energy in motion, right? And so moving the energy. And when we have pain in our body, when we have illness, disease, dysfunction, I believe that a lot of it is coming from a blockage of the energy moving through our body, and it means that there's some sort of suppression where we're holding on to some sort of energy or emotion in our system, and it becomes built up. It's almost like a pressure cooker, right? Like it just builds up all this pressure. So what I do is just release the pressure. Let's keep it really simple. And I like to keep things simple and tell people like your body is like a bunch of tubes, and all these tubes, and everything's just like flowing through these tubes, whether it be the blood vessels or just the energetic, you know, meridians or whatever it is, it's all just tubes, and we're here to unblock the tubes, just like even the organs and our heart, everything is just a tube. Some of it is just like a blown up tube, right? Yeah. A different, but it's like the idea is to have everything flowing, right? To create more flow and coherence, right? So it's all about the energetic coherence, about the structural, physical, mechanical, you know, flow and creating more flow. And that's why I'm all about rebounding and bouncing on a trampoline every day and just like really getting the lymphatic system to be pumping.
Yes.
And so when our body is in, when things are flowing, that's when we have optimal health, right?
Yeah.
And when there's a blockage, we don't have optimal health, right? So with me, I'm always thinking about energetically, how can I unblock this person? So for some reason, energetically, I can feel. And just when you think about energetic, just think about sensation. It's just sensation. We all can feel things, and some of us more than others. But I can feel when somebody has a blockage in their chest, in their jaw, around their eyes, right? Which is what Wilhelm Reich calls the ocular segment. So my mentor, one of my mentors is a psychiatrist who does orgonomy. Orgonomy is a technique working with the orgon energy work, and it's developed by Wilhelm Reich from back in the day. And it's very controversial. Like he's very controversial as a figure, but his body of work is tremendous. He was one of the first people to bring in body-based psychotherapy work. Mm. And so working with the body to heal the problems of the mind. So it's all about working with the language of the body to heal the problems of the mind. And so what I do is I incorporate that into my sessions. I call it kinetic release therapy is the name of my technique or modality or KRT. And it's just a name I had to give to what I do, but essentially it's just, I'm a therapeutic artist and I'm just going there. I have all these tools and I work with whatever tool is needed in order to support my clients and to heal, right? And so, so orgonomy is like one of the modalities, right? There's orthobiony, there's Barnes myofascial release, but forget about all the techniques and tools. Really what all these tools work with is unblocking the body. Mm. is creating more ease and flow in our body. So if it's a soft tissue release technique where you have a contraction in your upper chest and putting your body into the right position is just going to unlock that in seconds, working with osteopathic-based positional release work. Or if it's me pressing into different parts of your body to make your body aware that it is muscular armoring, right? We call it muscular armor when our body tenses up in order to protect and control, right? That's our body contracting and holding on to tension to protect us. So what I do is make your body feel safe enough to let go of that. It's all about making you feel safe. Mm. But sometimes that means I have to trigger you to feel really unsafe and to feel a lot of fear coming to the surface. But then I hold space for you to let that go, right? And that's kind of what I do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love how, I think the most important thing is how you facilitate, like you said, the flow and the space for somebody to be able to experience those things. And it's so powerful, especially when you can do that when you're not there. And I want you to get into that little rib cage technique that you're talking about. And I know that Jen has experienced some of your work and I've briefly got to experience some of your work. And it's just so powerful. And coming back to that wholeness, it's because you work with all the parts. You know, a lot of people are just trying to work on the tissue or are just working on the, you know, spiritual aspect or using the breath work. But you kind of incorporate it all to facilitate that environment. And that environment, I think, really allows a lot of those going to the scary place, but still feeling safe enough to release and process and do some of that. Can you talk a little bit about, you've talked into the fight and flight and then how we get into this rest and digest and why breath work and things like being vocal and using our voice are important to be able to facilitate that parasympathetic or the rest and digest space for people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we're in that state of fight, flight, freeze, we're basically in that contracted state physically.
That muscular armoring. I like that because exactly. I feel like a lot of people come in with all of this muscular armor.
Yeah, it's muscular armor and it's the soft tissue muscular armor where we're contracted. It's like, think of it as like a tightly clenched fist. And so what I do is try to soften that fist and open it up, right? So I'd open up the tension. Now, sometimes there's certain people who need some armor. So if they're hypermobile, right, and they're a yogi and they're doing so much movement and they're so open, I'll even tell them, you need to do strength training and you need to build up more armor because you're too open, you're too empathic, you feel too much, you're a highly sensitive person like me. And I'm the kind of person who that's the prescription that I got from my therapist was like, okay, you need to add more armor. You need strength training 2-3 times a week at least, build heavy weight. You need to be lifting heavy weight and adding more armor. But most people have too much armor. We need to disengage the armor and release the armor. And how do we do that? We can use these types of body therapy techniques. And so essentially what I do is to get, if you're in that state of fight, flight, freeze against, you have a lot of armor, softening some of the armor is going to put us into the rest, digest, recover state. And using breath work, so sometimes I'll use breath work that like is intense, like holotropic breath work, for instance, in order to really shift someone and get them out of their head. And another way of pressing into different people's bodies with intense pressure is actually going to get them right into their body, out of their head. Mm-hmm. And that's going to eventually get them to a rest, digest state, right? And so sometimes you have to go into the chaos, right, in order to get back to the harmony. And so I'm all about bringing people into the chaos if they're ready for it. You know, not everybody's ready for it, right? Yeah. And then bringing them back to balance, ease, harmony, and flow.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And, you know, it's interesting because I've heard of different techniques. Like I had a friend who worked at a physical therapy office and there was a very intense technique, which one is like rubbing on the sternum. If you rub on the sternum super hard, you're going to feel it. You know, it's not like rubbing on your elbow bone. Your sternum has a lot of sensitivity to it. And however, he would do that in the therapy clinic, but there's no room to release because you have everyone else around you. You have a lot of chaos still going on in the clinic. And so this person then getting this treatment just has to grit and bear it. And I think that's where we need to understand when these techniques are helpful and how we can actually allow someone to release. Because then going back to how you worked on me, you know, rather than just saying, just take the pain, or like you press into this one part of my shoulder blade, which my shoulder blades, whew, they get on fire a lot. And rather than just trying to calm my breath and breathe through it, you told me to use my voice and to actually vocalize and to allow myself to scream or whatever it was that I was feeling, that I'm like, ah, I hate this, you know?
Yeah.
And when I did that, it worked.
Yeah.
There was an incredible release that I no longer felt pain in that shoulder blade. So can you talk about the environment that you set up for people?
Yeah.
And why it's so important to use your voice and release that?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'll say that the ideal environment where I like to give sessions is a soundproof room where people can yell and scream at the top of their lungs. Like, it's all about releasing, right? And that's a tantric thing too. It's like you want to let out the sound. And so letting out sound, you know, sound that comes out from our body, it's a vibration, and that helps to soothe us and put us into the parasympathetic state as well. It soothes our body. It's like an internal sound healing, you know, like a vibrational healing effect. And so it's really important for us to let out sound. So when I press into someone's body, whether it's their upper back, let's say for you, in the shoulder blade, in the scapula, or whether it's in the chest, on the sternum, whether it's in the rib cage or the jaw, and I feel like they want to let out a sound, there's almost like the like coming out, that's when I'm like, let it out.
Yeah.
Like scream, let it out. And only if the body feels like it needs that, because usually it'll come up. So I won't like force someone to yell. And there's some people who really are blocked. They cannot yell, scream. They can't even talk loud, right? Mm. And those people, it takes time and it's a lot of work to get them to even let out a little bit of a sound. It's like a breakthrough for me with a client like that who I had, who was just like, a little sound came out. It's just like, oh my God, yes. You know, it's like, great, perfect, you know? And some people can really yell. And that's a release, right? Because if you think of a child, they go through a tantrum. What are they doing? They're screaming and yelling. They're also kicking and screaming, right? And so I encourage people to kick and yell. I tell them, you don't need to stay still on this treatment table with me. I want you to move your body if you feel like your body wants to move. So it's not me telling them, okay, move your body, hit the table. If I see them wanting to do it, I let them do it, right? And I let the body just take over. I want them to let the body take over, and they go through this cathartic release.
Yeah.
And it won't happen with everyone, of course, but if it happens, it happens. But I'm all about encouraging people to yell, to scream, to kick, to cry. I mean, I have like for a while, I had like a 50% cry rate where people would just, at least, people just cry on my table all the time.
Yeah.
And I have guys, I had a guy come to me, he's like, I heard you can make me cry.
Oh!
He's like, I want you to make me cry, dude. I'm like, make me cry. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And he cried the first session and he hasn't cried in years.
Wow.
That's a breakthrough, right?
That
because it took me years to be able to cry as well, you know? And so I'm really good at that, you know? And that's really, I'm really good at triggering people also because I'm intuitive and I can feel that and I can feel what the person needs, you know? And I think that it's really about triggering, and sometimes it's people call it painful, right? But it's not painful. I say it's just intense sensation, right? And so I'm just bringing a lot of sensation to the body. And then there, for some reason, something comes up where you have this, they call it the somato-emotional response, but it's just an emotional response. It's not somato-emotional. Soma is the body, right? Somatic work, that's what I do. But it's just an emotional response. Let the person just become emotional. And I'm really good at holding space for the person to be emotional. Unfortunately, a lot of physical therapists, massage therapists who bring about an emotional response in their clients, maybe unintentionally, they don't know how to support the person to feel it.
Yep.
So what I do when somebody's crying, I just hold space. I'm just holding them. I am not telling them to stop. I'm not giving them tissues, in fact, because that can actually make them want to stop, right? I'm just letting them release, right? Mm-hmm. Because crying is a release. It's an emotional release. In fact, it softens tension around our eyes and our jaw, and it can actually help with headaches. Like, there's so many people who come in with all this pressure. Crying is a release of that pressure. And there's actually a great book I can recommend, Joy by Alexander Lowen, who is actually, Alexander Lowen was the student of, one of the students of Wilhelm Reich, and he wrote this great book, and I read it years ago, and it talks about crying as a releasing emotion. And so when you understand how beneficial crying is, you want to do that, especially if you're a tough like guy or girl, right, who has a lot of just masculine energy and tension in your body. It's like you want to soften up sometimes, just like certain people need to man up, right, and become a little stronger and have more armor, right? Now, some people won't like me saying that term, but it's true. You know, it's like I say that to a woman or a man. It's like sometimes you need to put up the armor and block certain energy, and sometimes you have to open up and feel more. So I think it's about a discernment of what's medicine and what's poison for you, because one person may do a certain type of yoga and it's poison for them. Like Kundalini for me is poison. It just doesn't work. It just makes me get too flighty, kind of airy and like ungrounded, you know? And so for me, I need a lot of grounding, and that's like strength training, right? And then the next person, it might be amazing because it'll blast them open because they have too much armor, and then it can just heal them, right? So just like food, we have to know what's our medicine and what's our poison. I once heard of a guy who was allergic to avocados. I'm like, what? You know, like something so healthy and the guy's allergic to it. It's like, in the same way, it's like we have to really choose wisely with the movement practices we do, with the body work practices, the healing, the yoga, whatever it is that we're doing. It's not all going to be like great for us.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Is it balancing or is it compensatory? Is it something that is helping us heal or is it something that is our poison? And I think knowing where you're at on that spectrum is very important. And I think, you know, as a man who allows myself to be emotional and had a father who was very emotional and just always held space for me to do that. But then you hear all these messages growing up that, you know, it's not okay to be emotional as a man or as a guy or, you know, whatever. And I think that's just really something that's important to know where you're at. How much do you feel those emotions? How much do you let that drive, you know, your actions and what you're doing versus how much are you hiding away from it?
So my dad, I really look up to him, and he was always like telling me there's a time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. And it's true. There's a time and place for everything. So there's a time and place for a man, a grown man, to be getting a therapy session or working with a brother or a friend or someone who can actually feel them, let them cry and release. Whereas, you know, sometimes that might not be something that this man wants to do in front of his children, right? And maybe not even in front of his wife. I don't know. You know, I think it's like it can be tricky, right? Because sometimes that can actually erode the eros in the relationship. So if the guy's crying too much, then it becomes, he loses some of his masculinity and the turn on for the woman. But that's a whole nother topic. But, but you know, so I think it's important that we realize that there's a time and place for everything. And I think that we have to create these times and spaces for releasing energy, whatever that looks like. If it's a scream, a yell, screaming into a pillow, I recommend that to my clients. Hitting the couch or the bed and swinging the arms, which I want to show that right now, actually.
Let's do it.
Let's dive into that. Because I think that there's ways that we can move our body that is medicine to actually release some of this tension. And so again, time and place for everything. You want to make sure no one's around when you're doing these things because you might look a little crazy. Like the yelling thing, sometimes I'll do that in my car. This is great because nobody can hear usually.
Exactly.
So there is a time and place to be able to do these things. But bottom line is when do you want to do these things is when you feel aggravation, frustration, you feel some anger coming up, and it might not even be anger, it might just be frustration, something from a conversation, and you feel this energy build up where you need a release, right? And so I recommend doing this then, right? And sometimes you can do it as an exercise to bring up past stuff and to release it, right? But the swinging of the arms thing is really powerful. Let's do that. So what you're going to do is you're just going to basically kneel beside a couch or a bed or just a bunch of pillows, right? And you're going to swing your arms overhead, swinging the arms with a really tightly clenched fist, pounding on the couch, the bed, the pillows, whatever it is, in a safe way with you kneeling on your knees on the floor. Put some pillows under your knees if you have any issues with your knees or whatever. But you want to really let it out and maybe even scream with that too. Taking a deep breath in as you bring the arms up and then exhale and like let it out, and even just let out a scream each time and swing the arms. Now, what that does, believe it or not, it can release a lot of tension and pressure from our upper back and shoulders. So many people talk about how, oh my God, my upper traps, my upper back, so much tension I'm holding there. You're carrying the world on your shoulders, right? And it's like, how can we release some of that? Maybe that's frustrated energy that's in your body, and maybe doing this exercise for, I don't know, let's say 2 to 5 minutes, you know, a day could actually help release the energy out of your hands and out of your arms to release the pressure and the tension in your upper back. So I recommend people try that out. Again, 2 to 5 minutes could be good. Sometimes you can go longer if you're really angered and really frustrated. And letting out a sound is really important. Sometimes you could just sit and yell into a pillow at the top of your lungs, and you could feel it open things up. One time I was doing that, and I felt like my lower back just like pop. It was amazing. And that so there's magic that can happen when we do these exercises. So it's worth just exploring it and trying it. And if you need a professional to support you with that, you can reach out to someone like me.
I mean, and I have to just say real quickly, I can testify to this because I was at one of Christine Hassler's workshops, and we had what she called an anger burn, which is just like 100 women in a room going crazy. But
that's like the class that reminds me of the Taryn Toomey, the class. They do like this fitness class, and they yell and scream. It's all these women, and it's amazing. I'm like, yeah,
it was so unbelievable. And I have to say, like, for me personally, I needed to release a lot of anger, frustration, resentment. And she allowed her fiance at the time to be in the room. And she said, and he was going to hold a pillow. And she said, if anyone needs to release toward a man, you can go to release toward Steph. And she had us like, she gave us these little, you know, like the floaty sticks.
Like a pool noodle.
Yeah, like a pool noodle, but like all like shortened pool noodles that you can like hit on anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I beelined for him. And I knew him and everything. And he just held that pillow, and I screamed. She put on really loud music too, like really loud music, so that you could feel safe to scream, to express, to say anything verbally that you needed to say without anyone judging or hearing anything. And so I was just going ham at him, and I was crying, and I was saying a lot of things. But then all of a sudden, like, and I kid you not, exactly like you said, I felt the energy literally leaving my arms. Like it felt like a rush of energy out my arms, and I stopped crying, and I was like, oh, I'm chilling. I'm cool. Like I'm good. I got what I, it was the most unbelievable experience for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's really shifting, right? And it may have even shifted you into parasympathetic, where you were more calm after. Yeah. Did you feel more calm?
Oh, 100%. I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. I mean, I find that even like, it's just, it's very potent to release in this way. And when we say energy, right, you're feeling energy, it's just sensation, right? And let's just say, let's call it sensation for the people who are like, oh, that sounds a little woo. Like, because some people, when I tell them I do some energy work, they think I'm doing Reiki or hands-off work. Yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm doing very hands-on, in-person, like, I mean, hands-on work, which I'm actually engaging the body to create a physiological change. Even when I'm working with the fascia, it's gentle, but it's creating an actual lasting effect and physiological change, which is a really important thing. Yes. Because you don't want to just have like a temporary result happening, right?
It's tough for me when people aren't open to energetic work because they think it sounds woo-woo. Because as a scientist, energetic work is very much so scientific and is very much so physiologically based for me. And if we want to go into it like prayer, when you get into a room and pray with a bunch of people, that is very physiologically shifting to the entire group. Like you could test your nervous system and you could test your blood walking in and out of a, depending on what type of religious background you're from, whatever ceremony you go to, and there will be dramatic shift in people's bodies. So just putting science to energetic work is really important to me. And that's what people like Joe Dispenza do.
Yep.
And then they start to really measure these things and show like there is science behind this stuff. And you can't just say it's woo-woo anymore.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it is scientific. And I always tell people, do your research, look into it, and also just feel into it. Try it. See if you can feel into it. Sometimes you want to get away from the science and the mind, because sometimes things happen and I'm like, wow, science can't even explain that. And sometimes science and our human brains and minds can't catch up with what's going on. It takes time, right? Till eventually we have proof of like, until they do all these studies and everything. So a lot of times I'm just like, just trust your instinct and your intuition and tap into that, right?
Yeah.
Could you show us that little thing you were talking about with the ribs?
Let's do the rib really. Okay, so with the ribs, there's a spot that I find is tender for a lot of us, and it's right on the rib cage. And if you're going to go, let's say, like an inch or two below your nipples, on the edge of the rib cage, in between the ribs and the intercostal muscles, and if you just take your thumbs and start to just press in and really, so this is like, you're trying to trigger yourself, right? So it's not going to be fun. It may tickle and it may hurt. For many people, it's a little bit of both, especially when I'm doing it to someone or if you do this to a friend or a loved one. But you want to be pressing in and triggering and thinking about really like pressing, triggering, and moving things around and locating points of tenderness and go into those points and think about almost like strumming guitar strings so that you can think about like really bringing more sensation to that area. Mm-hmm. So what this is doing is working with the muscular armor. It's in this region. And when we do this, we're getting the body to self-correct. And first off, the body's feeling, wow, I'm really blocked here. And then it's going to release after the fact. So we're not trying to release it. This is not a soft tissue technique like trigger point work or massage or anything like that. This is discharging the energy. The idea here is we're here to discharge the energy from this region of the body by triggering and bringing more energy there and making the body super aware that there is this blockage. Think of it as like that tightly clenched fist that I talked about before. There's a tightly clenched fist. So how do we get that to soften? First, we got to make the body be aware that it is clenching. So how do we do that? We trigger and we go in and we really just shake it up and press. And then you want to do that for about a minute or so and then just pause with your eyes closed and just feel. Just feel what's coming up for you. It's really important that you take that pause, that you sit with your body, you see what you feel, see if you can feel the energy starting to disperse and discharge and release and see what comes up for you. And that's something that you can do also on the sternum, on the chest. And there's all these specific key areas that I take you through, let's say in sessions or either again, if I'm doing it on you or if you're doing it over Zoom and I'm showing you how to do it on yourself. The idea is we're going into where the blockage is and then making your body aware that it is blocked. And then the body will release when it's ready, when the time is right, when you hold space for yourself to do so.
Oh my God. Yeah. I hope that people really take this in and start trying these techniques because like you said, you know, getting 50% of your clients to cry, that was when I started to see success as a therapist, is when I stepped away from the clinic and I started working on my own so that I could have the space for people to feel like they can emote like that or express.
Yeah.
And I had the time, right? Unfortunately, in typical physical therapy sessions, you're with someone for like 15, 20 minutes and then you're on to the next client. So there's no space and time for anyone to really get there. And so when I started to actually work with people one-on-one for the full hour, hour and a half, that's when I started to see so many clients crying. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And to be able to provide this safe space for someone to cry is huge because think about it, how many people can you actually cry in front of or even yell in front of, right? Especially if we've been taught growing up that that's not cool to do by our elders, our parents, our teachers, you know? And so that's really important. I work with a lot of my clients on like, what were you taught around expressing your emotions? Mm. Was this something that you were given permission to do? Or was it something that this person you grew up with was like, no, you can't do that, right? That's not, you know, like I was told crying is for girls, right? And I was like, I don't want to be a girl, you know? It's like, let me, you know? So I just like held it all in, right? It's like, man up, grow up, right? And so see, that's when man up, you don't want to use that, right? So there's a certain time and place for using that term. But I think it's really important that we learn that, you know, as Brené Brown talks about, like, vulnerability is courageous, right? Yeah. And you want to to be vulnerable is to be courageous and to be real and authentic. And when you're authentically you and you express your emotions and you release, that's really healing. And that's what healing is becoming whole, becoming human, becoming who you really are, which is what we were when we were children. You look at children and animals, I'm always comparing. I'm like, okay, same thing with my movement practices as a movement artist and someone who's really a big fan like you of like handstands and acro and just movement. I'm always thinking about moving like an animal. How can I move like an animal, right? And so doing like these lizard crawls on the floor, like it's just, it's fun. And it, and that's what makes my body more functional and makes me move better. So in the same way, it's like, how can we optimize our health? We need to be more like children and animals, right? But the right time and place, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we need, as adults, we still need to be playing in the playgrounds. I think movement is medicine. We need to keep moving our bodies, move the energy through, keep hanging, climbing, running, walking like a child would, you know? Like, why do children love to spin? You ever like notice how kids like to do handstands? They love to spin. They just spin around in circles. Why? Because they're shifting their consciousness. They're going into flow states. We need to be doing that as adults all the time, because otherwise we get stuck. We get rigid. We get stuck in a certain state of consciousness, state of being and awareness. And I think it's important to do these different types of flow hacks, if you will, like to hack our flow, you know, as Stephen Kotler talks a lot about that, right? I think it's really important. And so that's how we shift into healing, right?
I love it. Mm. That's so powerful.
I think, I mean, you've said so much of it, like our sensations. I mean, they're all, yes, important, but they're all a perception. And where's that perception coming from? You know, what have we been told in the past about this or about how we should feel this? And how can we do it slightly differently? I mean, just what you were talking about, we get in all these neurologic ruts, and how do we do something drastically different to really just scramble things up and then sit with ourselves for a minute and perceive it and see what it stirs up. And I love all that you've gone through. And I think everybody gets to go in and try some of these things on their self that you talked about. I'm excited to get our headsets off so we can turn around and kneel and pound on the couch a little bit and scream, and scream and stuff. But all the stuff you've talked about, the work of yours that I've got to experience, it was so different. And it got me to perceive my body a little bit differently. And I think that's what we really hope people are taking away. And I know you have a lot more information out there, a lot more places people can learn about you and what you do. Where would you want people to go now if they want to learn more about you?
They can go to kineticbodytherapy.com, which is my website. Check me out on social media, on Instagram. It's at Kinetic Body Therapy, one word, K-I-N-E-T-I-C. And then I also have a great video program, dissolvepain.com, shows you how to release tension using orthobionomy as a self-care technique. So they can check that out as well. That's more structural stuff. And then please feel free to reach out if anybody wants to reach out, anybody has questions. Sometimes I like to guide people to a practitioner in their area who may be doing work like this, how to find someone like this. It's kind of tricky because there's not a lot of people who are working with this type of awareness with people and this type of emotional body work. But we can always do a Zoom session, or a lot of times I'll even just recommend someone a YouTube video or a book or something that can really help them. So please reach out. You know, if anybody, I'm here to support and help people, because this work changed my life and now I'm here to help others change their life, whatever that means, right? And I mean, I'll just say one more thing is, like, when I was 21, I had a breakdown, right? And so after that breakdown, that emotional breakdown, like, I ended up getting support by my therapist and my mentor with this work. And so literally this work has saved my life, you know, doing the emotional body work. So now it's all about, like, I made it my mission, my purpose to share this with the world, to support other people who are not getting results with regular traditional psychotherapy and massage and everything else that they're doing. Because it's needed. It's absolutely needed. And so I just want to scream at the top of the mountain, like, hey, everyone, like, this exists. Like, this changed my life. I've tried all these different things and approaches and it didn't work. And then I did this and it really made me more grounded. Also, just even understanding I need to strength train to not be so sensitive, to not feel so much as an intuitive empath, you know, and that changed my life, because now I can cope with feeling a lot. Because if I feel too much, I just go strength train and I add more armor, right? And like Game of Thrones kind of shit, I always tell people, like, you have all these heavy shields you're carrying. Let's drop some of those heavy shields, because you got this super high tech armor that's on your body that's not even a shield. Like, it's lightweight, like high tech, and you're carrying 3 or 4 shields with that. It's heavy. Let's drop some of the shields. So for someone like me, it's like, let me add a few shields, right? Just to protect a little more. So I can feel a little less so that I can function in the world, right? So, totally.
So beautiful. Honestly, this was like one of my favorites, because I want people to be able to experience, express, and feel. Yeah. And that's really what we want. And there's so many tools and techniques to be able to do that, and awakening that in people, I hope that they really start to explore.
Totally. So, yeah, to heal, we must feel.
Yeah.
To heal, we must feel. I think that's really important. So if anybody takes anything from this, is like, find a way to give yourself some permission to feel whatever's arising and get some support from somebody who can hold space for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We absolutely loved having you here.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
And there we have it, yet another amazing guest on the Optimal Body Podcast. So now what we ask of you, if you loved any bit of that or resonated with it, go share it out, share it with a friend, share it on your social media, because you know there are more people out there that would resonate with it just the same. Also, subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app so we know what you want to learn or other guests that you think we should bring on for you in the future. Keep tuning in to find your optimal body.